ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरिः सर्वेषु भूतेषु हरिः सर्वेषु भूतेषु भगवानास्त ईश्वरः भगवानास्त ईश्वरः इति भूतानि मनसा इति भूतानि मनसा कामैस्ते साधुमानये कामैस्ते साधुमानये हरिः सर्वे। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। श्रील प्रभुपाद की। वन शुड ऑलवेज रिमेंबर द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड इन हिज लोकलाइज्ड रिप्रेजेंटेशन एज द परमात्मा हु इज सिचुएटेड इन द कोर ऑफ एवरी लिविंग एंटिटीज हार्ट। दस वन शुड ऑफर रिस्पेक्ट टू एवरी लिविंग एंटिटी according to that living entity's position or manifestation. Purport. Harihi sarva bhuteshu. This statement is sometimes misunderstood by unscrupulous persons who wrongly conclude that because Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is situated in every living entity is therefore Hari. Such foolish persons do not distinguish between the Atma and the Paramatma, who are situated in every body. The Atma is living entity and the Paramatma is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The individual living entity, however, is different from the Paramatma, the Supreme Lord. Therefore, Harihi sarveshu bhuteshu means that Hari is situated as Paramatma, not as Atma, although Atma is a part of Paramatma. Offering respect to every living entity means offering respect to the Paramatma situated in every living entity. One should not misunderstand every living entity to be the Paramatma. Sometimes unscrupulous persons designate a living entity as Daridra Narayan, Swami Narayan, this Narayan or that Narayan. One should clearly understand that although Narayan is situated in the core of the heart of every living entity never becomes Narayan. We are reading from this chapter of the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 7, text 32. The chapter is entitled, What Prahlad Learned in the Womb. One should always remember His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. His spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he confided in him. He became a very confidential servitor of His Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Because he understood his mood, he wrote a poem on his Vyas Puja day, and one particular stanza attracted the heart of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. He was very pleased to read this particular stanza, which said, Absolute is sentient, thou hast proved. impersonal calamity thou hast smote. And when he saw this, he was very, very pleased. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was actually known as Simha Guru, the lion guru. Because just like when the lion, he is wandering in the forest, no other small animals, they can wander around peacefully. So in the same way, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, wherever he was so powerful and so aggressive actually. So aggressive about Mayavad philosophy that any Mayavadi person or Mayavadi thought in the vicinity would not exist. Therefore, he was known as Simha Guru. And when he read this particular stanza, he was so pleased because he understood that Abhay has captured my mood. This is my mood. That impersonalism is such a great catastrophe in the whole Vedic civilization. It is misdirecting all the people away from their natural devotional attitude. Therefore, he was always attacking. And when he read this stanza, he told all his other disciples that whatever he writes, you must print. Don't ask me whether I should print or not. Just print it. Because he has understood my mood. And in this same mood, Srila Prabhupada always upheld this principle. He did not care whether his students understood or not. Even in the very, very early days of Krishna consciousness, the society of Krishna consciousness, very early days, where hardly 10 or 15 followers were there. They were the only followers. So you can imagine, here is a sadhu who wants to establish an international society for Krishna consciousness, fully dependent on these young Americans who are 10 or 15 in number. And there, they are presenting their doubts. And the doubts are regarding Mayavad. What's wrong with Buddhism? They are asking. Prabhupada, what's wrong with Buddhism? So Prabhupada says, Buddhism is atheism. What's wrong with Shankar? Shankaracharya. Like these arguments are going on and Prabhupada is trying to convince them. But they are deeply, you can say, affected because the only philosophy the Western world knew from India was the Mayavad philosophy. That's the only thing which was known. Or some mantras to levitate. Beyond that, there was no conception of Vedic philosophy. And Srila Prabhupada, you know, he is looking at these people. These people are not convinced. I am trying to convince them. So Prabhupada actually becomes very angry and pounds his fist on the table. He says, because I say so. So immediately, all the followers, yes, Swamiji, if you say so, it is like that. So this was Prabhupada's mood that never he compromised at any given time about his philosophy. And the same mood he is bringing out here, as soon as he is saying that there is a chance that some people may misunderstand this whole quotation from Prahlad Maharaj, the profound philosophy which Prahlad Maharaj is preaching to his friends. So, Harihi Sarveshu Bhuteshu. So, Prabhupada is saying, unscrupulous people misunderstand this statement and think that every living entity is Hari. You have to find out what does unscrupulous mean. Scrupulous means those who are not neglectful of the details. And unscrupulous means those who neglect the details. So just accept, just because somebody else is saying that everyone is God, he looks saintly, so I accept it. This is unscrupulous. That means you do not go into the depth of any knowledge, any situation, and just comment or accept on the preliminary evidence or statements that this is how it is, without going into the details of it. This is a very dangerous phenomenon because we are limited. We have limited senses. We have limited imaginations, intellect. Everything is limited about us. We are very minute part and parcel of Krishna. So we are qualitatively equal, but quantity-wise we are very, very minute. So our intelligence is also minute. We cannot understand the great philosophy of Krishna consciousness, the Vedic wisdom. Therefore, Prabhupada says, unscrupulous people, they can misunderstand and try to proclaim everyone to be God. And here, he is calling them foolish. That only fools will accept such a thing. Therefore, a devotee is very, very careful in how he accepts the things. And therefore, a deep study of scriptures, constant hearing from the acharyas, the knowledge of parampara, that's very, very important in a devotee's life. Otherwise, we can be very easily misdirected. Even after coming to Krishna consciousness, we can be very easily misdirected. We know so many examples. Even within ISKCON society, we have people who have taken out certain passages from Srila Prabhupada's quotes, and based on that quote, they can create another society. Imagine. This is Krishna conscious people doing it after a deep knowledge of the scriptures. So what to speak of common man? He can be very easily misdirected. Srila Prabhupada is cautioning us here that we must go in the depth of every detail. And Prabhupada was very, very careful. He always told his disciples to be very careful about the details. It may appear that Prabhupada is very self-righteous or very proud personality. When he says, he chastised his followers that why have you removed Back to Godhead magazine, always carried founder Acharya of Hare Krishna movement or ISKCON, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So one time they did not print this. They just wrote His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Founder Acharya was missing. He called his editors. He said, what is this nonsense? Why there is no founder Acharya? Why? Well, it's a detail. At that time it appeared that Prabhupada just wants to proclaim himself to be founder Acharya. But not, it's not like that. We can see today that even after just 25 years of Srila Prabhupada's, he has gone, so many other things have come up. So Prabhupada wanted to establish this fact that whatever he has said for his society, that should be followed. That's why he said it was not for him. Because the future generations must know whom to follow. Therefore, ISKCON has declared officially that Srila Prabhupada is the most preeminent founder Acharya and Shiksha Guru for all generations of devotees to come. This is Prabhupada's position. So it was not that he wanted to proclaim himself, but it's a matter of detail. This is very minor deviation. But with a slight deviation, you can make a big mistake. And the Vedic language, the Sanskrit language, everything is so, it can be manipulated. Even you will hear, in English there is a saying, that even demons quote scriptures and tremble. Now, demons, when they quote scriptures, they can cry. We have seen Bhagavad Kathakars, perfectly Mayavadi conclusions. When they told the stories of Krishna, they cry. Tears of so-called ecstasy. And they make others cry. And then they think, oh, this is wonderful. So therefore, not to be unscrupulous is a duty of a devotee. Devotee must go through the details very, very carefully and through the system of parampara. Because it is not enough to detail study the scriptures in very detail. It's not enough. How the acharyas gave so much importance to sticking to these minor details, because it may appear very small deviation, but in future it is going to become big. Many years back we were in Vrindavan at the Radharaman temple. His Holiness Radhanath Swami was there. Few devotees were there. And the Goswami of the temple, Padmanabh Goswami, he invited us for lunch prasad. So we went. And during the lunch, he was recalling as a child how his father was great friends, grandfather was great friends with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. I think his name was Vipin Chandra Goswami. And at that time, again a minor, small, very little deviation came up. And devotees started coming and complaining to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and Vipin Chandra Goswami that there are people who are saying that Lord Chaitanya was a great saintly personality, but he was not God. So therefore, we should not chant the Gaur Gayatri. This was a statement. Now, an isolated statement like that, someone has made it. Why to give so much importance? But you know what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati did? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and Vipin Chandra Goswami, they made a team. They studied everything once again, wrote down all the points, and traveled all over India, wherever there was Vaishnava Sanghas established, and again re-established the fact how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, it may appear that it's not such a big problem. Everyone knows Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam states that, Mahabharata says that, so many Puranas say that, and the Acharyas say that. Why to give so much importance? But this is scrupulousness. Not to leave unattended any minor detail also, which can cause deviation. So therefore, just the study of scriptures may not be helpful to us. It requires also the knowledge of parampara. The acharya is required. We can see that just by studying, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was the greatest scholar at his time. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Puri after taking sannyas, young sannyasi, 24 years old. What is your age? 22. Many people are here, 22, 30, that age group. That's the age when he took sannyas. Young, energetic, very, very handsome. The beauty of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is described by Vrindavan Das Thakur and Krishnadas Kaviraj. Amazing. Such beautiful personality. Golden color, lotus-like eyes, good height, good physique, gait like a lion, and eyes which were merged in the love of Godhead. Very beautiful eyes. So very wonderful description is there. So he runs to Jagannath temple. Long story, but we'll just take it short. And he sees Jagannath and he's so expectant about meeting Jagannath. When he sees Jagannath, he runs to embrace him. And but before he could reach Jagannath, he falls unconscious. And the watchman, he decides to beat him up. Because there are many people like this. So he's planning to beat him up. But by the providence, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was present there. He said, wait, you don't know who is this person. But I can make out that this is a great personality. He knew all the scriptures. He knew what is Ashta Sattvic Bhav. So he saw in the personality of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all the symptoms of a Mahapurusha. And he saw that he is in perfect samadhi. The stage of pralaya, the ecstatic bhava of pralaya, that means devastation. You are so much in love with someone that you are devastated just by expectation of meeting him. That was the bhava. That was the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was unconscious. He was not breathing. And in the meantime, long time passed. And still, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not come to consciousness. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya decides, okay, let me take him to my house. So the watchman and some other disciples of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, they carry him to the house where he was staying. And in the meantime, Nityanand Prabhu, Mukunda Datta, Jagdananda Pandit, all of them, they come. And they are searching for the Lord. And they hear the story of that some sannyasi, young sannyasi, fainted. And Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya has taken him to his residence. So they rush there with Gopinathacharya, who is a resident of Puri at that time. And there, when they chant, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to his consciousness. And Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, he is so pleased with this sannyasi. He has a parental affection for this sannyasi. He wants to protect him. So he thinks, such a young sannyasi, how is he going to maintain his sannyas? So beautiful. Even if he doesn't want to do anything, many women will get attracted to him. How will he maintain himself? So therefore, he is thinking something. So next day, when Gopinath Acharya, he goes to his house. So he says, his name is Sri Krishna Chaitanya. So yes, his name is Sri Krishna Chaitanya. He is the Supreme Lord. Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya says, he took sannyas in Bharati Sampradaya, which is second class sannyasi. I can initiate him into Saraswati Sampradaya. I'll give him a higher status. And also I would like to teach him Vedanta. Because without Vedanta, how will he maintain himself? So immediately Gopinath Acharya, he feels very sad. He thinks, who is this person to think that first of all, he is inferior and he can teach him. So he tells him, you don't understand. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Your stamping does not hold any value for him. Whether Keshav Bharati gives him sannyas or you give him sannyas, doesn't matter. He is a Supreme Person. So he says, what is your proof? Says, his bodily symptoms. You can see his body. You are the knower of all the scriptures. You see his bodily symptoms. And plus, more important than that, all the acharyas say, Advaita Acharya says, Nityanand Prabhu says, all the acharyas at that time. Advaita Acharya was not an ordinary person. All over Bengal, he was accepted as a very, very great scholar, great Vaishnava, leader of Vaishnavas. And if he says something, that's a fact. So this is how Gopinath Acharya, he is trying to tell us how to accept certain things based on the statement of acharyas. But he says, I cannot quarrel with you because you are a dry philosopher. You know so much of scriptural science, but because you have not received any mercy of the Lord, you will keep on speculating like this. So there is no point in arguing with you. They were brother-in-laws. They were relatives with each other. So they had a very loving relationship. So Bhattacharya again challenges him. He says, you may say whatever you want to say, but if you are saying he is Krishna himself, where in the scripture it says that his Krishna is going to come or Vishnu is going to come in Kali Yuga? He is known as Triyugi. And Gopinath Acharya again establishes the fact based on scriptures that this is a Yuga avatar. The Leela avatar is three, but Yuga avatar, there are as many as possible every Yuga. So therefore, this is a Yuga avatar. And then he quotes Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna Varanam Tushva Krishnam. But still, Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya is not convinced. So then, he says, anyway, you go home. Tomorrow you call this sannyasi. I would like to talk to him. So next day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was told by Mukundatta and Gopinath Acharya, how Bhattacharya is thinking that you are simply a sannyasi and an inferior sannyasi. And our minds are very agitated. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, he is doing it out of parental affection. He is like my father, so don't think anything wrong about him. Next day onwards, next day when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu meets him, Bhattacharya tells him that I would like to teach you Vedanta. because you must maintain your sannyas vows. It's not enough to be just sentimental. So Mahaprabhu says, you are like my father, I must obey you. So I will hear whatever you want to say. 7 days he continuously hears from Bhattacharya. And within that 7 days, he does not utter a single word, he does not ask any question, he just silently hearing him. After 7 days, Bhattacharya is confused. What is happening? Is he understanding anything? Does he have any questions? Does he hear me? So he asked me, I have told you so many things. Have you understood anything? So Mahaprabhu said, frankly, I have not understood anything. He said, but why are you not asking me questions? So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, actually I understand Vedanta Sutra as clearly as the sun. But your so-called word jugglery, that I cannot understand. And I don't want to understand. He says, the direct meaning of the Vedanta Sutras is so evident. And you are just hovering around the indirect meaning. Then Bhattacharya says, okay, then what is your meaning? You please tell me. And then Mahaprabhu very nicely tells the whole philosophy. First of all, he says, what you are thinking is total nonsense. Because you are saying that the Lord is impersonal. What about this statement? That there was Mahat Tattva, there was this material energy, and the Lord, he thinks that he wants to enjoy. So he wants to become many, and he glances upon the material energy. So what is this statement? If he's not a person, how can he think? If somebody is thinking, he has to be a person. How can he glance if he doesn't have eyes? In this way, step by step, he concludes. And at that time, Sarvam Bhattacharya is completely stunned. He doesn't understand what to speak. And Bhattacharya says, actually, whatever you are saying is the truth. I was just in darkness. I was so happy with my word jugglery. But today I am understanding. And in that stunned state, he requests Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to tell him the Atmaram verse. That please explain me this Atmaram verse. Because Mahaprabhu tells him, actually this impersonalism is so dry that even those who have attained complete jnana, complete knowledge, and he gives example of Sukadeva Goswami and the four Kumaras, when they hear about Krishna, they get attracted. They are Atmaramas, but still they are attracted. So then Bhattacharya says, I want to hear this Atmaram verse from you. But then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells him, you tell me what is the Atmaram verse according to you, and then I will see what I can explain to you. So then he understands, he explains very beautifully, in 9 different ways he explains this whole Atmaram verse. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu congratulates him. Your knowledge is just like Brihaspati. You are so great. Such scholarly exposition of this whole Atmaram verse. But unfortunately, it is wrong. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again explains this Atmaram verse in 18 different ways. Without touching any of these 9 ways in which Sarvam Bhattacharya explained this verse. And at that time, Bhattacharya gets this knowledge from within that here is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I was thinking he is a simple sannyasi, but immediately accepts him as Supreme Person. And then he condemns himself. He says, I was a dry philosopher. I was just barking like a dog, trying to tell people how the Lord is impersonal. But because of you, because of your mercy, I have now understood. To the degree that he was so disgusted with his past life that he tries to change one of the words in Srimad Bhagavatam, one of the verses, where it says Mukti Pade, he says no, Bhakti Pade. He was so disgusted with this mukti word. He says, I want to delete this word from Srimad Bhagavatam. But Mahaprabhu says, no, you can't do this. You don't understand what is real mukti. Real mukti means attaining the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. That is real mukti. So in this way, we can understand that unless there is the mercy of the Lord, we will remain unscrupulous even after studying the scriptures properly. So therefore, the message we get is that being scrupulous means to get knowledge according to the parampara system. And when we get that knowledge, then we will not make any mistake. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada is telling us, Harihi Sarveshu Bhuteshu, that every living entity is actually the temple of God. The body has within the heart Atma and Paramatma. And Krishna confirms this. He says, I am situated in everyone's heart. From me comes knowledge, remembrance and forgetfulness. Krishna, he is looking at all the living entities with equal vision. And that is what here, the great souls, they also look at all the living entities, not just the human beings, with same equal vision. Why? Because Krishna has that equal vision. For Krishna, everyone in this is his son. Aham Bija Pradha Pita. He is the father of all living entities. So, according to his vision, the devotees have their vision. They look at all the living entities with equal vision because Krishna has that vision. Therefore, a person in complete knowledge, Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmane Gavi Hastini, Shuni Chaiva Swapakecha Panditaha Samadarshina. A pandit, a greatly knowledgeable person, he looks at the brahmana, the elephant, the dog eater, all sorts of living entities with that same vision. We have heard so many stories of Srila Prabhupada, how he was so kind to every devotee. But he was not kind only to the devotees. He was kind to the non-devotees also. When he saw in Mayapur that when the devotees had taken prasadam, they had thrown away their leaf plates and something was taking a little bit prasadam and the dogs were fighting to take that prasadam. And later on he saw that some poor children, they are coming and fighting with the dogs to take that prasadam. So tears came from his eyes. He said, no person should go hungry in this whole Mayapur area. So therefore, since then, the Mayapur food relief, and now all over India actually, here also we give so much of food, distribution is there, all over India, all temples. But this was the beginning. That Prabhupada's mercy, he wanted to give prasadam. No one should go hungry. Prabhupada, he was in his room. This is written by one of his disciples. And he is chanting for someone early in the morning. So the disciple goes inside, Shruti Kirti Prabhu. And he says that Prabhupada is chanting, looking at something. So then he looks at the corner and he sees one small insect which had come in and is about to die now. And Prabhupada is chanting for him. So this is the mercy of the acharyas with equal vision. Prabhupada preached to all these Western people who are completely in all kinds of bad habits. Intoxication, illicit sex, meat eating, gambling, you name it, everything was there. And still, Prabhupada was very kind with them because of the equal vision. Somebody in South India actually challenged Prabhupada that how can you teach this science of bhakti to the mlechas? unclean people. So Prabhupada quoted this verse, Pandita Samadarshina, and he says, this is my definition. My preaching is my definition of Pandita Samadarshina. Because I am not discriminating between Indians and Americans and Russians and Chinese. Pandita Samadarshina. This is the meaning of Pandita Samadarshina. That I have to give this knowledge to everyone. So in this way we can understand that the devotee has equal vision. That's why one of the qualities of a devotee is being sama. Is equal to everyone. And that vision comes because of the Lord himself. The Lord is also sama. He is looking at all living entities with that same understanding that they are all my children. And devotee also, he looks at all the other creatures. Wherever there is symptom of life, he understands that this has to be respected. Because there is temple of God. As soon as a devotee sees, just like we may see a car going or a bullock cart going. But there in every kind of vehicle, there is a person, a driver. So same way, we may have different bodies, human bodies, animal bodies. But a devotee immediately understands there is a person inside. There is not only the person Atma, but there is a super soul who is guiding him continuously. So with that vision, he is treating everyone. Not like an artificial philosophy of reverence for all life. You talk of big, big things. You know, how we should respect all life. How we should save the whales. And how we should save the species which are becoming extinct. And then, in that same room, on the same table, you eat flesh of dead animals. You have killed the animals. So that's not a devotee. He's not an armchair philosopher. A devotee means it. A devotee actually, to the core of his heart, he understands that every living entity is my brother. And in the future shlokas, we'll see what it means when Prahlad Maharaj is saying that we should respect every living entity by seeing them as the residence of the Lord. So in the future shloka, he says it means we should treat them as ourselves. We hear this in biblical sayings also. Treat thy neighbor as thyself. Right? Love thy neighbor as thyself. So Prahlad Maharaj is also giving this teaching. It's a beautiful way of preaching. He tells, just treat others as you will treat yourself. Think about this. What do we do to treat ourselves? Who is the most important person in our life? Who is your most important person in your life? Huh? Yes? We ourselves. Right? There is no one more important than ourselves. When we stand in front of a mirror, no matter how ugly you look, but still, you are thinking, I am the most beautiful. Or may not be the most, but at least I am beautiful. So we are taking so much care of ourselves. Our hairs, they are graying, then we put some black ink or some color. So many things we do. Because we are so much taking care of this body. We think that we are this body. And therefore, Prahlad Maharaj, he was aware that how the demon children, they are thinking. They are taught right from childhood by their parents and teachers that by hook or crook, you should be the master of everyone. You are the controller. This is a demon philosophy. So they were expert in taking care of themselves. So he tells them this mantra. That you treat all living entities just as you will take care of yourself. Beautiful, no? Just how you will take care of yourself. Same way you take care of the other person. And why he will not become a devotee? As soon as we take care of somebody as good as ourselves, immediately the Lord is pleased. That person is pleased. And therefore, we have some time, no? Today is Sunday. How much time we have? 10-15 minutes? Because there are great devotees who have shown this wonderful equality of vision. And one of those is Vasudev Vipra. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to South India, he was traveling, went to Kurmakshetra, and there he stays at the house of Kurma Brahman. The Brahman was very happy that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is staying at his house. He serves him very nicely, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu leaves Kurmakshetra. At that time, this Kurma Brahman is so attached to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says, "I can't live without you. I must go with you." And for a long distance, he starts traveling with him. But he tells Kurma Brahman, "No, you have a family. Take care of your family. And just whatever I have taught you, you teach to the others." And in this way, he sends back Kurma Brahman. He is not the hero of our story, so we are not going into details of that. There was another Brahman in the next village. His name was Vasudev, from a Brahmin family, but with a very, very terrible disease of leprosy. He had leprosy, he had boils all over his body, and in those boils, there were worms. In the medical language, they were maggots, white worms, fat worms. Those who are in the medical field, they must have seen sometime all that. These maggots, they look very ugly, even though they are white. Very strong, fat worms. So they were crawling all over his body. They were piercing his, oozing wounds and sucking all the blood from him. And by mistake, because they were fighting, so many worms are fighting for that same body. So some of them will fall down. So Vasudev Vipra, he always thought that this is my body. I am thinking this is my body, but it also belongs to this worm, because this is his food. So why should I deprive him? Great consciousness. He would pick up that worm, put it back in the wound. That was his consciousness. Equality of vision. So when this Vasudev Vipra heard that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had come to this village of Kurma Brahman, he wants to meet him. He wants to take his darshan. So he comes with great expectation that I will meet the Lord. And in the morning when he reaches, he understands that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has already left. So he was so much disappointed that actually he falls unconscious. He starts lamenting, "I couldn't meet the Lord." But the Lord is situated in everyone's heart as Paramatma. So Lord had gone quite some distance. From another village, he comes back. Comes back, and as soon as he sees this Vasudev Vipra, he tightly embraces him with all the oozing wounds. And immediately there is a transformation in the body of Vasudev Vipra. His body becomes perfectly healthy, fragrant and golden. And he is himself amazed. And not only his body gets rejuvenated, his distressed mind also becomes completely satisfied. He is completely satisfied. All his distress is gone. So then, Vasudev Vipra is again worried now. That now I have got this beautiful body. Everyone knows that I have received the mercy of the Lord. Now I will become proud. So very conscious about his pride. So he tells the Lord that actually I am afraid now that I am going to become proud. So Lord says, "Don't worry. Chant the holy name incessantly. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram Hare." And preach the same holy name and Krishna Katha to others. Srila Prabhupada in his purport says a very beautiful thing. He says, Vasudev Vipra was so thankful to the Lord and he wanted to do something in return to the Lord. So he asked, "What can I do for you?" And the Lord said, "Simply preach." And Prabhupada says there, "And this is the business of our Krishna Consciousness Society." that because the Lord has shown His mercy upon us, what does He want in return? That we should preach. We should see with equal vision all the living entities. Do not discriminate, do not judge. And give this knowledge of Krishna consciousness for the welfare, ultimate welfare of that living entity. So in this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Vasudeva Vipra that if you want to please me, also Kurma Brahman, please give this knowledge to the others. Yare dakha tarekaha Krishna upadesh. Whomever you meet, preach this glory of Krishna. So, when we say of respect of all living entities, equality of vision means respect to all living entities. That means, what is the real respect? That we actually bring them to their original consciousness. Jivera Swarupai Krishna Renitya Das. Make them aware that, okay, this is not your position. The illusion which you are in, this is not your position. Your position is to be the servant of the Lord. And in that servitorship, you will be most happy. Right now you may think that in this illusion you are very happy. No, sir. You are not happy. When you become situated in your original position, that is your real happiness. Of course, unless a person comes to that stage, he does not understand what he was losing so far. So, in this particular verse, Srila Prabhupada is teaching us two things. One is how not to mistake a living entity to be Hari or the Lord, and see them with equal vision of being the temples of the Lord. And that equal vision means, Prahlad Maharaj is telling us that we should treat them as ourselves. And treating as ourselves means doing the best possible thing for them. We do always the best possible thing for ourselves. So we remind ourselves about Krishna. We chant the holy names. We do so many things. So in that same fashion, so lovingly if we take care of someone, thinking is service of the Lord, then automatically that person will take up to Krishna consciousness. And if we do this preaching work, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, this is the only thing I want from you. For all mercy which I am showing to all of you. He is showing us mercy every day. Without Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, without Srila Prabhupada, without the mercy of Vaishnavas, can we be sitting here today? We cannot. So what is their desire? Each one preach one. Right? At least we may not be great preachers. We have our brahmacharis, they preach to thousands of people. Great scholars. They are teaching to hundreds and hundreds of students all over the world. So we are grihasthas. We may not be so powerful preachers. But at least each one preach one. We can do that. Take one person in a whole year. Say for example, this whole group takes one person for the next 1 year. Each one. Next year we are double. Correct? So simple. And that is what the Lord wants. That simply repeat this message to whomever you meet in return to the mercy which we receive from Him. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. This is all I could understand from this particular shloka. Hare Krishna. So is there any question or comments? The question is, what is the meaning of this word Mayavadi? It's an important question. A very, very important question. But actually, many times we are in the community of devotees and we take it for granted that we know this meaning. Like for example, this word unscrupulous. We think that we know what is unscrupulous mean. But we may not know. Because we are so used to this words, Mayavad, transcendence, so many, sense gratification, these peculiar words of ISKCON. So we think everyone should know it. But Mayavad means thinking that Krishna's body is also like ours. That Krishna has also the body which is made up of earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence and false ego. Which is Maya. This whole material energy is transformation of Maya. So, to think that Krishna, the Supreme Person, also has similar body like us, which dwindles and dies, that particular philosophy is called as Mayavad. Because Krishna also has senses, Krishna has his mind, but all that is transcendental to this material creation. His senses are not like us. You cannot see with your hand, but Krishna can see with his hand. You cannot eat with his eyes, but Krishna every day eats with his eyes. Correct? So, this is Mayavad. That to think that his senses are also limited like us. He has body like us. So, Mayavad means Maya is more powerful than Krishna. That Krishna is a supreme person, but he has been bound by Maya. So therefore it is called as Mayavad. That Maya becomes more powerful than the supreme person, who is actually the energetic, and Maya is simply an energy. Is that clear? Any other questions or comments? Śrīla Prabhupāda ki, Granthara Śrīmad Bhāgavatam ki jāya.